Let's see. One, two, three. If my kids will be smashing Legos while we do this. Welcome to the Folk Artwork and Friends podcast. My name is Adam Ostreich, the man behind Folk Artwork. For years, I've been wanting to start a podcast. I never really knew the best way to go about it. But after a summer of collaborating on an artist video series with the American Folk Art Museum and hanging out with some of my friends in the field, I think I finally got it. Part history lesson, part conversation with some really cool people with some really great stories. Ever since I walked into a William Hawkins exhibit in Davenport, Iowa over 7 years ago, I've met so many amazing people in this wild world of outsider art that I'm lucky enough to call my friends. Once a month, I'll highlight an artist or two and share my conversations with my friends, gallery owners, curators, artists, and outsider art enthusiasts to talk about how they got into this field, which artists inspire them, what piece of art they love the most, and who knows what else. I've had some really great conversations with some really interesting people over the years, and I'm very excited, and I'd like to share some of them with you. First episode, I talked to Kylie Rayou, the associate director at Rico Maresca Gallery in New York City. I've known Kylie over a year now, and every time we chat, I learn something new. From her love and passion of Martin Ramirez, to her helping me arrange the lighting at my booth at the Outsider Art Fair. She's been super helpful to me and someone who is incredibly knowledgeable and passionate about the field of outsider art. Plus, her origin story, if you will, continues to blow me away every time I hear it, and I hope that you enjoy listening to it as well. I am lucky enough at this point, I think, to call Kylie a friend. All right, Kylie, I am so excited for you to be joining me today. This is a conversation that we've been trying to have now. Yes. For a very long time. I do want to start by giving you a bit of a compliment because my compliments can get kind of weird, so hang with me. I feel like in the outsider art world, it's kind of like an older person's game. Mm. And I'm not going to call you out. I don't know how old you are. You're probably younger than me, but like we're young people. And yes. I first remember seeing you on Instagram or somewhere mm-hmm. talking and just like your passion about these artists really shining through and me being like, oh man, this is a person who I want to talk to and like know more about. So first of all, I just want to like compliment you on your passion. And I'm just Thank so excited you. To be talking to people. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love going to the art fairs and galleries and talking to people who grew up and like knew these artists, mm-hmm. but I am so fascinated to know more about people like you and me who sort mm-hmm. of discovered this world in a roundabout way. So before mm-hmm. we get to how you discovered the outsider world, like what was your background in art before sort of this point in time?
Yeah. So I grew up just always loving art. And so when I was in high school, I made a decision to go to an art school for college and pursue a degree in fine arts. I think when you're younger and you just love to create and you love art, you feel like the only option that you have for your future is to be an artist. 100%. You don't know much about the art world, the art business, right? Because it's mm-hmm. not something that you're really exposed to. So after high school, I went to Otis College of Art and Design in Los Angeles. It's an art school. And I studied fine arts there. However, I quickly realized that I probably did not want to pursue a career as a professional artist. I think what it was really for me was that the program was very, the curriculum was very theory heavy. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't feel like this is what I wanted to do. Like I didn't feel like making this sort of esoteric art felt real to me.
Sure.
And I was kind of disillusioned by the whole sort of art school experience. And so I decided, okay, well, I love art. I don't necessarily want to be an artist, a professional artist. What do I do? And I was kind of confused. I thought maybe I wanted to be a curator, maybe, study art history. I don't think I really knew what I wanted to do while I was still in school.
Like as most sort of 18, 19, 20 year olds, you
right.
don't, right? And because you don't know, like you said, I was the same situation. I remember telling an art professor, what am I going to do with an art degree besides make art? I can't do anything with that. So yeah, like, you know, again, sort of like you should as a young person, you don't know what to do. So then what happened from there?
So I graduate from college with a BFA. And I'm sitting in my apartment. This is like June, July. It's the summer. And I'm sitting in my apartment, just completely lost. Have no idea what I'm going to do. Like, I don't know, like go work at Blix, our supply store. Like, I have no idea. Like, I had no interest in pursuing like MFA or, you know, really going that direction. So I'm just lost at this point. And then I get a phone call from my mother who says to me, she goes, I met someone last night and this person's daughter went to this thing called Sotheby's Institute and they studied art business. And I feel like maybe this is something you might be interested in. And she did her own research and found out that Sotheby's Institute has school in Hong Kong, New York, and London. So my mom just suggests to me, why don't you go to Sotheby's Institute in New York? Like, don't you want to check that out? And I don't know what came over me. I didn't even have to think twice. I was like, yes, I'm going. Because when you're like so stuck and lost, like any change is better than the current situation you're in. So I was 100%. Like, I want to get out of here. I want to get out of the situation. So I was like, yeah, okay, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah. Also, like, shout out to your mom for being like, hey, you should do this thing instead of like, hey, why don't you go get a job? Like, go do this, right? So, like, shout out to mom, first of all.
You know, it's funny because my mom would tell me, still to this day, she was like, I actually had no idea, like, what you were going to say. I actually didn't expect you to say yes. I was just throwing out ideas because I knew you were just very lost.
Just one of those mom things where, your mom's like, hey, you're going on a trip, you should do this or that. And you're like, yeah, whatever. But okay, cool, amazing.
When I was like, yes, mom, I want to go.
Okay, so you go to the Sotheby's business side to kind of learn more about, again, not being an artist, but the business side of things. Okay, and what was like the best experience or what did you learn or take from that that like and that stuck with you the most, I guess?
Right. So essentially a month later, I find myself in New York City, fully moved in, like about to go to school. I mean, like my life just completely changed within a month. I feel like it was always sort of meant to be, to be in New York. And so I love the program. I love Sotheby's Institute Art Business Program. I highly recommend it to people who want a career in the art world, in the more business side of things. So what I loved the most about the program was that I was exposed to many different kinds of art world professionals, right?
Like,
you could work at a gallery, you could work at an art fair, you could work at a nonprofit, a museum. You know, there's just so many options, and they do gave you sort of like a taste of what it's like to work in each of those professions. So I really like that. Yeah, it was such a breath of fresh air because, you know, as someone who grew up thinking I was going to be an artist, went to art school, had this like artist training, to then learn about this other side of the art world was just so refreshing. And I was like, this is exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it just made sense to me.
Yeah. That's so good to hear. I mean, I wish, and sometimes I think, unfortunately, it takes just going out into the world and like being stuck, like you said, in your apartment and be like, what do I do now? And then your mom just said, hey, try this out. But I kind of wish that, and not to make this about me, I'm definitely not the best teacher in the world, but when I'm a high school art teacher and I want to tell my kids, like, if you like art, you could hang art in a museum. You mm-hmm. could ship art. You could make mm-hmm. catalog, right? You don't have mm-hmm. to just be an mm-hmm. artist, because that is very hard. You can, like, if you mm-hmm. want to, you can do it. But so that's really cool in here that, like, they just showed you sort of the whole world mm-hmm. Of that. So I kind of want to, I feel like I talk about life before outsider art mm-hmm. As like before Common Era, and now we have like Common Era, right? So like that's the year zero. So how did you sort of learn about or discover this world of outsider art?
Mm-hmm. So I came into this world completely by chance. But given how my passion for self-taught and outsider art just continues to grow, I have no doubt now in my life that I was always meant to be on this path.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is further validated by my crazy origin story, which yeah. I'll get into.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So while I'm at Sotheby's learning about our business, I got connected to a friend of mine from LA who had just moved to New York, who had just sold his tech company, and now he was like angel investor. And we were hanging out one day at his apartment, and I realized that his walls are empty. And I'm like, like, you have this beautiful apartment and your walls are empty. And I had this idea. I was like, what if I help him? I mean, he certainly could afford it. You know, mm-hmm. he just sold his company.
Right, yeah.
I was like, what if I help him buy his very first work of real art, not yeah. some kitschy cruise ship BS. Not
Bed Bath and Beyond. No offense exactly. to Bed Bath and Beyond, but like, come on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But
some
like
real art.
Real art that yeah. he can not only decorate his walls with, but also invest in, right? And I'm totally. An art business yeah. student at this point. Like, what yeah. we learned about investing in art as well.
Let's put these skills to the test here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had this idea, and I proposed this to my friend. I was like, hey, like, how about I help you buy your very first work of art, essentially work as his art advisor.
Right. Mind yeah.
you, I'm like 23 at this point. I'm like, what am I doing?
And I love it.
Essentially work as his art advisor, but there's no upfront fee. I'm not on retainer. Like, he has right. nothing to lose. And if he yeah. does end up buying something, I get a little commission. So
yeah, there you go.
Like a little money, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like putting this thing together, I'm like, it makes sense. And so I propose it to my friend, and he was just like so nonchalantly like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, sure, okay.
You've been like building up the courage to ask, and he's like, yeah, okay, whatever,
yeah, okay,
let's go.
That sounds good. Okay, yeah, let's go. And so for the next few weeks or few months, I am like in, you know, downtown Manhattan, like going to these super cool, hip, young galleries, mm-hmm. like trying to source art for him, you know, looking yeah. at checklists, talking to like sales directors and sending in presentation, doing my own research and doing all the work. And everything that I've shown my friend, he was just like, I don't know, like, you know.
And like, okay. I should say, sorry to cut you off, like, you're yeah. in New York City, you're not in right. Des Moines, Iowa, where I'm at, and it's like, we gotta look online, or maybe we can go see a place. It's like, you would think that, I don't know. Yeah, like you said, you're going to young, hip, cool places. It's like, right. okay, let's find you something. But you just, he just nothing. He can't.
He just didn't respond to anything that I showed him. But admittedly, I think I was showing him things that were like way too conceptual and like way too experimental.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was like still in this like elitist art mindset. I don't know if that makes
sure.
sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And I was getting a little frustrated. I was like, I'm doing all this work, and he's just like not responding at all.
So like, how many galleries at this point do you think you've been to, or presentations, like dozens or?
Oh yeah, like dozens. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. On the other hand too, sorry, I like respect him for not responding to something, just being like, yeah, sure, let's just get it. But
exactly.
like you
yeah.
said, dozens at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So next we do
and
what?
And then a few weeks later, we decide to have dinner downtown. And I suggest to him, well, how about we go to some openings, gallery openings, mm-hmm. Before dinner? Because it happened to be the day when like all the downtown galleries were opening their new shows. And he was like, okay, sure. So I opened my Art Forum gallery guide app, take him to all these like gallery openings. And it was so funny because, like as I said, the downtown galleries are very young and hip. So the openings are attended by people who are younger, who are like hipsters, who are like young artists. And my friend and I like felt so out of place because this is like kind of opening that has like PBR, like Tecate beer, and like my friend was like what is this?
Where are we?
Where are we? And I'm showing him the art, still like no response. And at this point, as the night is unfolding, at this point I'm thinking, okay, like maybe we just call this whole thing off. Like maybe we're just like not seeing eye to eye on things. Maybe we just have different tastes. Like that, I can't help you with that, So then it's like 7:30. I think our dinner reservation was like 8 p.m. And my friend goes, is there anything else? Oh my God. So I
I'm
open my
sorry.
app, my gallery guide app, and there's one gallery we had not gone to. And I'm reading the description. And I'm a little hesitant to even tell him, like, actually, there's one more we can go to because the first word, like, first couple of words that I read in this brief description about the show were like self-taught, outsider, spiritual visions. And I was like, what? What does that mean? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what this means. Like, is this like tribal art? Like, what? I have no, like, I had no idea about self-taught and outsider art worlds at
For
this
sure,
point.
yeah.
So
Again, this
I'm
is
like,
year zero. This is like your introduction. So,
exactly. So I'm super confused. I'm like, I don't even know if I want to go here. But I was like, you know what? Let's go. We have time to kill. So I tell my friend, well, there's one more gallery we can go to. Apparently, they're showing this artist like who has some spiritual visions. Like, I don't know anything about this kind of art. Do you want to go? And he was like, yeah, let's go. I mean, he was very enthusiastic. He was like, yeah, let's go. So we go to this gallery. And because it was towards the end of the opening, which ends at 8 p.m., everyone was either leaving or had already left. We were like the only two people inside this small gallery. And so the owner of the gallery sees us, says hi. He was very, very nice. And starts telling us the story about this artist. Now, this artist was J.B. Murray. The gallery was Shrine, and the person who was talking to us, of course, was Scott
Scott
Ogden.
Ogden, yes. Very, very, very nice. Nice
Very
guy.
nice, very
Fantastic
smart.
gallery. Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, and so I didn't know this back then, but I recently found out the gallery had only been around for a year at that
Sure,
point.
yeah.
So it was a
Yeah, yeah.
very new, young gallery. And so Scott's telling us this incredible story about J.B. Murray, and it's fascinating. And my friend is like nodding his head, like listening. And this was maybe like a 3 minute talk that Scott gave us. And I'm like, wow, okay, cool, like fascinating. All right, like let's go to dinner now, And my friend, after Scott gives us this sort of presentation, he goes, oh, okay. I would like to buy the three on this wall. And I was just mind blown,
Amazing.
Adam. I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, can you imagine all these thoughts going through my head? Like, first of all, what is this? Second of all, okay, like you didn't respond to anything that I've shown you the past few weeks or few months. And now, like after this 3 minute presentation given by Scott, you're like, okay, I'm gonna buy three. And not just one, but three works. I was just like speechless. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so, he fills out the paperwork, they work out the logistics, and we leave the gallery, and I'm like, what just
What just
happened?
happened? Because like an hour ago, you were like kind of ready for an
Oh,
awkward dinner. You were
right.
maybe gonna leave and then call your mom and be like, "You got any other suggestions of anything else I should do?" But then you sell three works of art by an artist
Right.
that you had never heard of
I've
and
never
never
heard
in a
of.
million years would have thought that your friend
Exactly.
wanted to fill his blank walls with.
Exactly.
Amazing.
So then at dinner, I asked my friend, I go, hey, like, I just have to ask you, what was it about this artist that you really responded to?
Yeah.
I just have to know. And his answer was very simple. He goes, Kylie, it's the story. And
yeah,
the light bulb moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in that moment, something shifted within me. And I start to see things a bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that that moment sort of changed the course of my life.
Yeah.
Because now I was like, I learned something that was so enlightening. There was definitely some kind of an energetic shift within me. And so I was like, wow, okay. And I became more and more interested in Salted and Ousted art. And because I realized that all these artists have such incredible stories. I mean, it's really like the story is really everything, right?
100%. Yeah.
Especially in this field. And so I started to grow this interest in self-taught and Ousted art. And I like watched the documentary, Turning the Art World Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing
Fantastic.
Documentary.
Yep.
It's like a good documentary to watch if you have absolutely no idea about this field.
Yeah. Oh, and honestly, like a good documentary to watch like every 2 to 3 months when you're just like, I need something good to watch, like something comforting. I don't know. I love it. It's so good. Yeah.
It's so good.
And I could be wrong. I think it's free on YouTube. So like go watch
I
it.
I think you're right.
If you haven't seen it, it's the best.
I agree. And a few weeks later, or maybe a few months later, I found myself in a situation where like now I had to start looking for jobs because I was about to graduate from this master's program. And I'm on NYFA like every day. By the way, in case you don't know what NYFA is, it's New York Foundation of Arts.
Okay.
And this is the website where a lot of people in the art world would post like jobs. That's specifically like in the art world, like so gallery jobs, like art fair jobs, like museum jobs. You can find a lot of that on NYFA. And so I'm on NYFA every day, like updating, like refreshing, you know, the page, like trying to look for a job. And because I had been a student all my life up until that point,
right. Sure.
I had no full-time experience, right? Like, I mean, I had some internships here and there, 2 months, like 1 month internships here and there, but nothing full-time. And so obviously like I could only apply for like assistant jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like gallery assistant or art fair assistant and whatnot. And I'm like having no luck finding a job. And then one day I'm looking at the job post and I see a title, like a subject that says gallery manager. And I'm thinking, like, what's a gallery manager? Because it was my first time seeing that title. Because you see, like, gallery assistant or gallery director or
director,
sales director.
Yeah. Yep.
But I never saw a title gallery manager.
Okay.
Like, and I just out of pure curiosity, I was like, I wonder what a manager does. Like, what's the difference between assistant and manager?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So just for my own information, I decided to click this job post just to learn about what managers do.
Yeah.
And when I click the post, the first sentence that I read is a leading gallery in the field of self-taught and outsider art, Rico Maresca Galleries, hired gallery manager. And I was like, self-taught and outsider art? Like, this is a field I'm really
interested
in. The
stars are aligning. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I read, you know, the whole post. I'm like, wow, like, oh my God. I'm like, honestly, as I was reading it, I was like, I have to apply. I felt something within me. I was like, this is mine. Like, this is supposed to be mine. And I felt a very, very strong, intense feeling, like in my gut, telling me, like, I have to apply because this is for you, you know? And so I get to the bottom where it says qualifications. And it says, the first thing it says is it's like 3 to 5 years of experience. I'm like, I don't have that.
Yeah. I sold three paintings.
I don't have 3 to 5 years of experience, but that did not stop me. Okay. I really want to apply and I'm going to apply. But certainly my resume is not going to get me an interview.
Yeah.
So what do I do? I was like, I'm gonna write a damn good cover letter. Like,
Yes.
really from my heart. Like, it's
Yeah,
like
yeah.
how I genuinely want this job. So that's what I did. I
Yeah.
wrote a very genuine, heartfelt cover letter detailing my interest in the field. And of course, I had to mention, Shrine, Scott,
Yep,
how I helped a
sure.
friend of mine acquire his very first work of art, which was J.B. Murray. So I'm like name dropping.
Yes.
So I sent my application and I get a, call back for an interview. And I meet with Frank Maresca, the owner of the gallery. And it was I like immediately like I felt so comfortable like walking inside the gallery. And Frank and I had a really nice conversation. And long story short, after a couple of weeks of, the hiring process, I ended up getting the job.
Amazing.
It was in the very end, it was me and this one other person who had like 5 to 7 years of experience, but in the end, I got the job. And I actually asked Frank a few months later, like, why did you hire me?
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Oh, why did you hire me? And he was like, and by the way, this is not a secret. Like, Frank loves telling the story, and he still, to this day, after 7 years, continues to tell the story to
Yeah.
strangers. He said, when you came in for an interview and you sat across from me and we were talking, you had this way of flipping your hair that was like very specific. That sort of like exuded this energy of like I can do anything. Like it was
Yeah.
like it had you had this like confidence that that from like your hair flip I could feel this confidence.
Interesting.
And it really kind of showed me that you can do anything. And I was like, oh, that's so funny, because when I was in high school, I was a competitive cheerleader. And
Okay.
so like one of my specialties was like hair flipping and like
Okay.
head bobbing, because like when you go to competitions as a cheerleader, that gets like extra points,
Oh,
like
I
all
did
these
not
like
know that. Yeah.
theatrical movements. And so I had this habit of like always flipping my hair like a very specific way. And I think that's what it was,
Yeah.
essentially.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got into the field of self-taught and outsider art. And after 7.5 years, I'm still there.
J.B. Murray is not the type of artist you might learn about in art school. In fact, if you looked at his art or made art like his in art school, you may get some weird looks. His art is the type of art that those really awesome people will walk up to and say, "My kid could make that." And maybe they could. They don't and won't make anything like it, but yeah, sure, maybe they could. And even if they could or did, I bet that artwork wouldn't be compelled by visions of a struggle between good and evil for the souls of humanity. Would it now, little Timmy? John Bunyan Murray was born in 1908 in rural Glasscock County, Georgia. He spent most of his life as a tenant farmer, and like many Black Americans in the South, had experienced educational disenfranchisement and never learned to read or write. He attended school for 1 month at the age of six, and then spent the rest of his life as a farm laborer. In his lifetime, Murray was married, had 11 children, separated from his wife when he was in his 50s, and other than doctor's visits and weekly services at the Mineral Springs Baptist Church, lived in virtual isolation for the remaining 2 decades of his life. A deeply religious man, it wasn't until a spiritual experience in his 70s that Murray began his art-making career. Per the American Folk Art Museum, one day he was watering a patch of potatoes in his garden, and he witnessed the sun descend and radiate prismatic colors through his yard. In a 1986 interview with art historian Judith McWillie, he recalled, "I prayed and the Lord sent a vision from the sun. The eagle crossed my eye, it shade the sun. You know, an eagle can see farther than any bird in the world, and that's why that I can see things some more folks can't see. Just as he was first awed by the transformation of the world through the arcing water of a garden hose, he would later interpret his paintings by gazing through a bottle of well water. Quote unquote, water saves. You can't hinder water. Water will soak down and come up in another place. For the majority of his life, Murray kept a bottle of what he called holy water on a table by his bedside, which he would raise towards the sky whenever he prayed, which was often. His artwork is best described as an abstract expressionist take on spiritualism. Abstract expressionism similar to a la Jackson Pollock, maybe, with smaller canvases and probably fewer cigarettes. Murray's work has been shown among and in many folk art exhibits across the country, and his art is included in the collections of the American Folk Art Museum and the Smithsonian American Art Museum in Washington, D.C. Art historian William Arnett has called Murray's art making one of the most remarkable and unlikely art careers in the Southern vernacular field. His first creations were piles of found materials, rocks, and other debris placed throughout his yard to repel evil that Murray believed loomed over his life. He then began painting car parts, televisions, and other reflective material that he would then affix to his home in another effort to reflect evil and protect his home. It was in the late 70s that his art making really took off, developing his own personal style of unintelligible abstract writing, which he called spirit script, that he inscribed onto his drawings and paintings, which at the end of his career totaled over 2,000. As the American Folk Art Museum notes, his work ranges in materials, including watercolor, crayon, tempera, felt tip pen, and ink, all on paper, stationery, napkins, construction paper, and the exterior and interior walls of his house. The primary colors each had their own symbolic weight, from red for evil to yellow for divine power. He was compelled by his visions of a struggle between good and evil for the souls of humanity. As he said of the tall, spectral, and ghostly figures that fill his art, "Them is the people. What is living like God don't exist." Murray greatly distrusted people who did not believe in God. In his mind, most people had strayed from the Lord's path and were therefore potentially harmful. He also believed that destructive evil spirits populated the world, and thus much of the artwork he created served as a protective purpose. Get all that, little Timmy? If you knew none of this, you would probably look at Murray's work and think, yeah, a child could make that. If you knew some of this, you may want to purchase one or a few of Murray's works to protect your home from evil spirits. Once J.B. Murray was diagnosed with prostate cancer in the mid-1980s, he began to make work furiously, feeling as though he was running out of time. John Bunyan Murray died at the Memorial Hospital in Washington County, Georgia, on September 18th. 1988. His work, in all its abstract and spiritual glory, can be seen at many museums, galleries, and fairs, and walls of friends across the country. And thank you for being here. And thank you to Kylie for joining and sharing her wonderful story. You can follow Kylie on Instagram at Kylie J. Rue, that's KyleiJRyu, for her in-depth outsider art videos like Spiritual Wisdom and Outsider Art and an epic tale of Henry Darger. Lastly, before you go, if you're in the New York area, you can check out Rico Maresca Gallery's latest show opening, coming Thursday, September 18th. And I'm excited to say I will also be there in person for the debut exhibit of my good friend, Sarah Teresa Lee, who is now represented by Rico Maresca. Plus, I'm not sure I'm totally at liberty to announce it here, but if you are interested in, let's say, Two Left Feet, if you know what I mean, this will be a show you will not want to miss. Come out, come say hi, would love to meet you. If you're heading to Austin, Texas between now and September 20th, you can check out a show I helped curate with my good friends at Sage Studio and Gallery, a fantastic gallery for artists with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and our show, All These Folks, a celebration of some of our favorite self-taught and outsider artists like Maude Lewis, Henry Darger, Felipe Archuleta, Steve Ashby, and more, is currently on display until September 20th. Go check out Montrell's Pipe Cleaner Animals, Mike Combs' rendition of Henry Darger, Jackie Bradshaw's work, Sarah's work, everybody, Rick Fleming, Linda DeLiva, Esteban Whiteside, Henry McDonald. I'm really excited and proud of the work that they all did. Please like and subscribe and follow at Folk Artwork on Instagram. Thanks. Love you. Bye. And thank you to Jason Brown for the incredible Folk Artwork and Friends theme music. You can hear more from him at sapwood.bandcamp.com. Help support him by purchasing one of his many fantastic albums. Thanks again, Jason. You are the best.